fueled by facts and driven by truth. Broadcasting live from beautiful British Columbia, it's Roadkill Radio.
Ron Gray.
Carrie Simpson.
Ron Gray.
Carrie Simpson.
Boy, do we have a show tonight.
Oh, have we ever.
I'll tell you, there is controversy in the land, Ron Gray. I know that will shock you.
I don't think I can stand it.
And actually, this controversy is near and dear to your journalist heart, isn't it?
Well, it is because the eyes and ears of the public are being blinded and stopped up deaf. Well, okay, let's jump in.
Let's tell the folks about the story. And you're here with Roadkill Radio for all your good news about the bad news that's happening in this country, because that's the only way you can describe this latest story, Ron Gray.
What used to be my favorite newspaper, the one exception I had found in the downstream media, the National Post, twice ran this ad that says, "Please don't confuse me." Picture a very sweet little girl. Says, "I'm a girl. Don't teach me to question if I'm a boy, transsexual, transgendered, intersexed," whatever that may mean, "or two-spirited." And then it talks to the Premier of Ontario and says, well, "Stop doing this."
You know, and when I saw that ad, I said, "Good on you, National Post. You are the bastion of free speech. You are the champion of all that's good and decent, at least what's left in Canada." And bravo for you for having the intestinal, if not the testosterone, necessary to at least project truth and run an ad for an organization that wanted to inform parents about what was really going on in the public education system. Now, I was happy, Ron Gray.
I was, and they ran it twice. Now, I thought it was a pity that they had to wait for somebody, a private organization, to raise the funds to pay for doing what a newspaper should be doing anyway. I mean, that's part of their obligation.
I never even considered that. There is an obligation, at least one would assume, for the press in Canada to actually operate like the press and bring us stories, regardless of their political bias or their personal bias, and at least let Canadians become informed and make decisions for themselves.
Well, our Charter of Rights and Freedoms defends freedom of the press, specifically. One of our famous Canadians involved in the media, Lord Beaverbrook, once said, having a television station is a license to print money. So that puts it in a different category. But the reason freedom of the press is defended is that it's a principle in a democracy that the public business should be done in full public view.
Transparency. Informed debate, discussion.
The media are supposed to be our eyes and ears. They inform us of what's going on. Well, sometimes they won't, and occasionally a group like the Institute for Canadian Values has to raise the money to put an ad in a newspaper that will tell people what's going on. That is debasing public education and corrupting our children.
Wait a minute. Are you suggesting that the National Post didn't report on this story, so organizations very concerned that people were being scammed and duped and not fully informed about what was really going on in the schools had to spend probably an obscene amount of money to place an ad to give people the facts?
But wait until you hear what happened next.
Well, wait a minute. Don't tell me you're going to ruin my joy, Ron Gray.
I am. On October 1st, just a couple of days after printing the ad the second time, the National Post apologized for running the ad.
Huh?
And said they would never do it again. More than that, they said they would take the money that the Institute for Canadian Values had paid them to run the ad, and they would give that money to gay rights activists.
Wait a minute. What did the Institute for Canadian Values do that was so horrible, so intolerant, so discriminatory in nature that the National Post would take this strong stand?
What they did, unfortunately, was to tell the public the truth about what's going on from junior kindergarten to grade three in Ontario schools and in BC schools.
No way.
They did.
Somebody told the truth?
They told the truth.
Oh, my goodness. We can't have that.
No, you can't
no,
have
that's
that.
Not, no, that's not. No, this
must
is Canada,
stop
people.
That, yeah.
Can't talk like that.
I read after the apology, I read over the ad again. And I looked for something. There's a whole bunch of direct quotes from the Toronto District School Board curriculum, junior kindergarten to grade three.
Stop.
Direct
Full
quotes.
Stop. Direct quotes out of the curriculum are printed in the National Post. How dare they?
You must not let the parents know what's being done to their children in the schools that they pay for.
This is scandalous.
Well, okay.
Okay, but wait a minute. Now we need to get the other side to this because, you know, now that the Institute for Canadian Values has been silenced and their ads taken off, we thought that we would invite them on this show, being the brave sorts that Roadkill Radio is. You know, we kind of like truth around here, Ron Gray.
I'm addicted to it, yes.
So joining us from Controversy City is Dr. Charles McVitie, Executive Director for the Institute for Canadian Values. Well, I don't know. Do we need to increase security around here for having you on the show, Dr. McVitie?
No.
Hello, Charles.
It's great to talk to both of you, and I commend you for being a bastion of truth because there are not many of them out there.
Well, you know, we just can't help ourselves sometimes, Charles. It just, we haven't quite learned, you know, the conformity issue, you know, I don't know, there's this rebellion in me that requires me to be good and truthful and honest and stand for what's right. And, you know, they keep trying to teach me otherwise, but I guess I'm unteachable in those areas.
Well, you and me both, because one of the, you know, the primary charge that the National Post eventually made against the ad was that they didn't like its tone.
The tone.
I can tell you the specific words that offended them so much, Charles. It was the title of the website that people could visit to sign the petition, StopCorruptingChildren.ca.
Well, let me quote their apology in Saturday's National Post. They said, and I quote, "Where the ad exceeded the bounds of civil discourse was in its tone."
Tone.
Now, my goodness, where did tone come from, and what is tone?
Oh, and Charles,
did I speak too loudly or too softly, or I mean, this is. Is this the Soviet Union? Did I wake up to 1984? Is this George Orwell? Is this Fahrenheit 451 where they're going to start burning the books because of tone?
This is newspeak. It goes on to say, and a manipulative use of a picture of a young girl. But
yeah,
surely that was the whole point. We're worried about the manipulation of young children. That's the whole point.
Well, here we put a picture of a 7 or 8 year old girl. What are we supposed to do? Put a picture of a grandmother?
how is it
manipulative when you're talking about grade three education to put a picture of a grade three girl? I mean, this is nonsense. In fact,
it is.
This whole apology is nonsense.
It's stupidity. Stupidity.
Let me give you this point. The publisher goes to great lengths in the first part of this apology to say that he never saw the ad. Now remember, this is the publisher.
Okay, wait a minute. Yeah. Now, what is the publisher's name? Just so our
His
audience.
His name is Doug Kelly.
So, publisher of the National Post, Doug Kelly, and I should tell everybody, Roadkill Radio did invite the senior editor of the National Post on the show. The invitation will remain open.
Maybe Doug Kelly doesn't read the National Post.
Well, therein lies the problem. It ran as a full page, as big as life.
Twice.
A week ago Saturday, and then it ran again on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that the publisher does not even read his own newspaper. I mean, this is nonsense. And then 5 days later, he has an epiphany that what is in the paper is not good. So then he apologizes for putting it in the paper. He really makes this implausible argument that he never saw it, yet it is his job. He works there 8 hours or at all. He works there every day to do this. And then to rub salt in our wound, he finishes it off by saying that they're going to take the money that we gave them, the proceeds of the advertisement, and donate it to an organization that promotes LGBT issues.
Yeah, that was the most outrageous stroke of all.
Well, you know where you're right behind the sex activist, Charles, right?
Well,
yeah, let's go back. Let's go back. Yeah, behind, way behind, hopefully. let's go back to what galvanized you to take this horrible action that you did and to create all this controversy in our nice, comfortable Canada. Because this has turned into a huge controversy. This is journalistic treason as far as people are looking at the National Post, right?
Journalistic treason.
Well, yeah. let me tell you, a year ago, April, we notified parents that this gender identity teaching was in the new sex ed curriculum, and parents got so upset in Ontario that after 2 days of hearing outraged parents, the premier announced that he withdrew the program. But it turns out what he actually did was he withdrew it from the sex ed curriculum and put it into the equity and inclusive curriculum, and still teaches our little boys and girls, imagine this, in grade 3, that there are 6 genders and that you can question your gender, to lead the little boys and girls, and I quote, encourage girls and boys to role play opposite sex roles.
I'm gonna read you a story out of Vancouver here, okay? Because, you know, this is very applicable. And actually, I'm going to send it to you, Charles, because I think you can use it. This is a story from last year. Anti-homophobia consultant played a big part, quote, in trans boys coming out. And what happened in this grade 8 class was that this individual who on Thursday was named Amber, attended what is called a presentation from the GAB Youth Services about what it was to be transgender. Amber decided that Amber really wasn't Amber after attending this little, info session put on by the school, and then decided that Amber wanted to be Cormac. So this anti-homophobia consultant went through all the classrooms at this particular school and advised the students that Amber would be coming back as Cormac. This is a 13 or 14-year-old, and I know on this show we've had child psychologists saying children at this age and in their teens have no idea what they are, who they are, what they're about. This is corrupting children.
You know, that is, I need you to send me the story, because that is colossal, that our state would then force our children, and I mean force because the parents are not allowed to withdraw their children, that is plainly stated in this curriculum, force our children to learn the details about questioning your gender, the details of what it means to be this gender or that gender. I mean, most adults have no idea that there are more than 2 so-called genders.
2's all that's needed.
And Charles, let me tell you about another story that just was brought to my attention last week from parents in the Burnaby School District. One of the grade 12 students there has decided that he's transgendered and now has taken the very strong position and public declaration of proving his transgenderedness by using the girls' washroom.
Wow.
Now let me tell you about another story out of the Burnaby District where another 16-year-old boy has decided he's transgendered. And after his decision to determine that he was in fact a female, his former girlfriend, still was girlfriend, but I guess became boyfriend. I'm not sure how that worked. But anyway, his significant teenage partner at that moment in time decided she was also transgendered and wants to be a boy now.
Well, this is the type of confusion that our state is injecting into our classrooms. Really, this curriculum in Ontario starts in junior kindergarten and goes right through to grade 12. It confuses our little children, and all we're asking for them to do is stop.
That is so outrageous.
This is not about gay rights. This is about protecting our children from being accosted with confusing gender identity teaching. These little boys and girls are trying to learn the ABCs. They're trying to learn how to add two and two. They're trying to learn how to read and to tie their shoelaces. And these wise guys are coming out with this experimental teaching because this is not done anywhere on planet Earth.
I want to tell the listeners to Roadkill Radio that if you go online to word.ca and scroll about two-thirds of the way down the page, you will find a petition called Stop Gender Identity Bill C389. That's the bathroom bill, Bill Sixay's bathroom bill that died on the order paper with the end of the government before the last election, but it's being brought back by Hedy Fry.
Hedy Fry, the burning crosses in Prince George. You know, when she could get her burning cross story straight, maybe then she could be worthy of talking about what washrooms people can use.
So,
Charles, I want it. You used experiment. This is nothing more than a bad social experiment, isn't it?
This is social engineering. It's a social experiment. There are no studies to say that this is even going to help those in the transgendered community, so to speak. This is just using our children for guinea pigs, and it's damaging. I mean, children face enough today with all the information explosion that is upon them and all the confusion. They don't need to be more confused by our teachers, and our teachers are not even allowed to opt out of this program according to this curriculum. The state just forces it upon us, tells us to shut up and give us your kids. You know what? It's time for us to take a stand. We're in an election in Ontario, and you know that today our leaders are all ears, and on October the 7th, they don't even know your name. You can't get a word in edgewise. But right now, they need the parents at the ballot box, so they will listen. So I'm asking people to go to our website, stopcorruptingchildren.com, sign the petition. The phone numbers of the three leaders are on the page. You can then phone McGinty, phone Hudak, phone Horvath, and ask them to commit to stop corrupting our children.
Now, that's in Ontario, but the problem is all across Canada, indeed all over North America. And the outrage of this is that the law says that you must put your kid into school. Now they bring in a regulation under that law that says you have zip to say about what is being pumped into your child. Shut up. Give us your children. Give us your money. And we will tell you how things ought to be.
No, we will not. No, they're not really telling parents. That's why the Institute for Canadian Values has to do. But what they are saying is
we will change society.
We will indoctrinate your children with our lies and deceptions to convenience a society that's in chaos and doesn't know what's coming or going, to keep everybody busy so they only have time to work and pay their taxes, not to take care of their kids and all the rest of it. That's what we're dealing with here. Charles, I want to tell you what I'm going to do, because I had a little strategy. I was one of those parents that didn't vaccinate my children. I used to get calls from the authorities. And my reply to them was, well, good, you're the one. And they go, what do you mean you're the one? When the public health nurse would call me to tell me SC hadn't been vaccinated, as if I didn't know. And I'd say, well, you're the one that's willing to sign this document. And that you can be sued if any adverse reactions happen to my children after they receive a vaccination that you're telling me I should be getting. I am going to write to your dear premier and to your minister of education and ask if they will basically void the liability issues and allow people, students, for instance, children who may be confused by these educational indoctrinations of a social experiment, that they can come back and sue them for everything they're worth later in life if, in fact, this social experiment goes bad.
Well, that's a that is a very good strategy, but of course, you know what they'll do with that. And these people take no responsibility. This is all about handing our children over to those who want to indoctrinate them with statism and to say that parents have no right to even object to what they teach our children. Let me give you one other point that's in this curriculum. They say to teachers that if you don't teach this curriculum, then you will be fostering a poisoned environment. Recognize that with the Ministry of Education reasoning, they are saying to us as parents that if we don't teach this material, then we are maintaining a poisoned environment. That my household is a poisoned environment because I don't tell my little 13-year-old to question her gender. I mean, do they have do they have all this backwards? Absolutely, yes. They're the ones that are poisoning the environment, confusing our children, but they refuse to take responsibility. We need to take a stand at this time, and I encourage anyone who is listening to voice your concern. Call these leaders and tell them to stop confusing our little babies.
You know, I think that the time is coming, Charles, when people are kind of increasingly getting fed up with state intrusion into the family. State intrusion that includes unwarranted apprehensions because social workers don't like the way you're raising your kids. The restrictions on freedom of speech because people want to speak truth, which is part and parcel, but the essential ingredient to what we're talking about here. You know, increasingly we're seeing mother government invading territory that she has no business being involved in. Are you seeing that through your work with the Institute for Canadian Values? Maybe elaborate on that and tell us why you've come into existence.
Well, the Institute for Canadian Values was really an offshoot of the Defend Marriage campaign because when they redefined marriage in Ontario, it didn't stay in Ontario. It spread across Canada and then to many parts of the world. So we realized after leading over 1 million people to protest, it was a reaction that we realized we needed to be proactive, not reactive. Mm. So we started this think tank called the Institute for Canadian Values to find information out like this and make go on awareness campaigns, give leaders like Kerry Simpson and Ron Gray the material so they can go out and share the truth and stop the insanity. And yes, we've been doing this now for the last 7 years. And we are thankful that we have some successes, but again, we need more and more information out there in the hands of parents so that they can make a proper decision. You give a mother this material. You know, I had a mother say to me, over my dead body, will they teach this trash to my child? That is the type of resistance that we must have to a hostile state that wants to seize our children and tell us to shut up and just give us your children.
Dr. Charles McVitie, did the National Post contact you before they issued this apology? Did they discuss this with you at all?
I They did, but before they did this, before they contacted me, they advised the gay community that they were going to apologize and not run the third ad that I had contracted with them. And that really was a major breach of ethics. But the publisher did call me, and he did explain to me that they were not going to run the third ad. He said that they would welcome this debate in the copy pages of their newspaper, but not in the display ad pages of the newspaper. It made no sense at all because they had already approved it, ran it twice. They then asked me for an op-ed, and I have presented that op-ed, and they tell me they're going to run it tomorrow in the National Post and that they're going to have a full debate. They're going to have someone from the LGBT community go from their side and then me from our side. And then they even said to this morning that they are willing to put a reporter on this and write about it so that parents can be informed, they can make their own decision, and we can have a left-right debate, so to speak. That excites me, and hopefully they will do that. But this idea of quelling free speech and taking away this ad, which is in no ways offensive, they already approved it, they ran it for 5 days. Did it cause any uproar in those first 5 days? No. But all of a sudden, he had an epiphany. Now, he said this morning on a radio show that I was on that he came under tremendous pressure. And
from the gay, lobby, from the Yahoos, the vocal minority that claim to speak on behalf of the entire community, but really don't.
Well, and the end result, when special interests like this have so much power, is that our children then suffer. And I think of the little boys and girls today, in classrooms today, that were taught confusing messages about who they are.
Yeah.
Maybe today they were cross-dressing and role-playing and researching gay pride pictures and making posters for the gay pride parade and planning their own pride parade, all of this from the curriculum. That was happening today in some schools in Ontario because this is the curriculum of today, not tomorrow, of today.
Hey, Charles.
And I think of those little boys and girls, hundreds and thousands of them, and my heart bleeds, and I have to stand up and speak up, even though I come under tremendous threat from this so-called tolerant community.
Charles, have you had hate mail about this?
Hate mail is the biggest understatement. I mean, we have had everything said to me. People phoning my house, phoning my cell phone, sending me terrible, terrible, hateful messages by email and on my phone here at the college. And it is really...
In the name really of tolerance, disturbing. Huh? In the name of tolerance, you've been
in
getting...
In the name of tolerance,
yes,
for telling the truth.
For telling
now,
the truth.
Now, does this not sound like the Soviet Union, Ron?
You know what, Charles, I want to... We here in BC have what's called gender bender days at our schools, but I want to talk a little bit about the law on this, because there's two important decisions out of the Supreme Court of Canada that should affect these kinds of decisions. Audette is one of them, and that involved a teacher who had a sexual relationship with a student during the course of a summer holiday. But the language of that decision was really interesting because it recognized this. Parents delegate their authority to teachers. There is a recognition in law about the supreme right of a parent. A teacher only has the authority which we as parents decide to delegate. The other interesting decision is out of the BR versus the Children's Aid Society, where the Supreme Court of Canada and Justice Laforet, former Justice Laforet, was writing on behalf of the majority. And he says this, the right to nurture a child, to care for its development, and to make decisions for it in fundamental matters such as medical care are part of the liberty interest of a parent. The common law has long recognized that parents are in the best position to take care of their children and make all decisions necessary to ensure their well-being. This recognition was based on the presumption that parents act in the best interest of their child. Although the philosophy underlying state intervention has changed over time, most contemporary statutes dealing with child protection, this was a child protection matter, and in particular the Ontario Act, while focusing on the best interest of children, favor minimal intervention. In recent years, it goes on to say, courts have expressed some reluctance to interfere with parental rights, and state intervention has been tolerated only when necessary when necessity was demonstrated, thereby confirming that the parental interest in bringing up, nurturing, and caring for a child, including medical care and moral upbringing, is an individual interest of fundamental importance to our society. While parents bear responsibilities towards their children, they must enjoy the correlative rights to exercise them. Given the fundamental importance of choice and personal autonomy in our society, it goes on to say, again, parents are the best decision makers for children. Does your premier understand the role of parents within a society?
Well, I'm afraid he is adverse to the role of parents. And in fact, last year when he was ramming this thing down our throats, I asked him directly, I said, do you teach your own children to question their gender? And of course, he couldn't say yes. And therefore, the teachers that are doing this are not fulfilling the trust that we have put in them. And that is a legal position that you have read, and it's very well articulated that we delegate a teacher to only do what we ask them to do.
Absolutely.
And when they go and say that we're going to do this to your child and you cannot withdraw your child, you cannot stop us, that is a violation of basic principles of freedom. But also recognize is that this is a Soviet socialist construct. To pit the children against the parents, to do to the children what the parents will not allow, will not do themselves, and then to use those children as they grow up to exercise their socialist ideals. And this is happening over and over and over and again in our society. And you have coming to Vancouver something called We Day, where they're going to fill I don't know if it's in the Pacific Coliseum or if it's in or what arena it's in, but they're going to fill your arena with 18,000 boys and girls and teach them to be socialist activists. Under the taxpayer dollar.
Well, and
this
and
is a very, very well-planned strategic agenda that is being executed against our will and against our children's well-being. And if I, as a father, can't stand up, then who is going to stand up?
Well, and last year's WE conference, where there was 12,000 children recruited through the public education system, Al Gore came to speak and expressed his, you know, bizarre positions on global warming that have been debunked, destroyed, so counterfeit. And this is who our children are being indoctrinated with?
Well, this is a very strong agenda to indoctrinate our children with statism, something that is contrary to that of the parents. And you know, I have two children. One of them is in law school, and he's 22, but the other is very impressionable at the age of 13. And I cannot sit idly by. As Canadians, we are inherently complacent. But we need to shrug off this complacency for the sake of our children and take a stand and become active, become informed, go to the various websites and read the material. Go to this website, stopcorruptingchildren.com. Get the information yourself. Read the curriculum yourself. Yeah, I posted it right there. It's 219 pages long. It is exhaustive, and it is corrupting, and we must stop it for the sake of our little innocent boys and girls.
Well, isn't it also, no, I mean, obviously corrupting, but it's intellectually abusive because they lie to these kids about this information. You're probably familiar with the videos we released from an organization I'm involved with Culture Guard. Well, they want to teach children queer history, but it's not factually correct. It's I think propaganda is too nice of a word for it.
And you're right. I mean, some people, I don't use this term, but some people say that it is even verbal sex abuse.
Sure it is.
Yeah,
it is.
To confuse a little girl is horrific.
Well, and it's a violation of the International Declaration of Human Rights from 1947, which specifically says that parents have the primary authority in education. I just found another item, and it's on your webpage, that the six-year-old was given in Toronto, was given an official school planner that talked about sex workers, Palestinian solidarity, and other things that's out, absolutely outrageous.
Yeah, that is a news report from the National Post. I mean, how far will these people go?
Well, maybe Doug Kelly didn't read that story either.
You know, I've had the utmost respect for Doug, but he should read his newspaper. But
yeah. Charles,
this just, the truth must get out there, and Deuteronomy 32:30. Tells us that one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. One person with the truth can put 1,000 liars to flight. And when we stand together, we can stand against some of this insanity and protect our children.
Well, you are that one person, Charles McVitie, and Carrie Simpson, you and I will be the two, and together we'll be the three and four, and we'll multiply this.
Charles, I wanted to pick up on your comment about, you know, this was verbal sex abuse, and one of the transcripts that we have in conjunction with the Culture Guard videos about what was happening out in schools is one of their facilitators who goes by the name of Jen Sung when she's in public, but with the kids, she's just known as Genderfuck. But she was on Bill Good's show, CKNW, and here at Roadkill Radio, Bill Good and Ethan Barron from the province and a few others, we just call them gay dumb media commentators, and maybe your Doug Kelly fits in that too. You know, I think what we should do is have a little meeting with all these media execs and fill them in on the details, because they've been hoodwinked, sideswiped, and they're really wimpy. I think they don't want to turn on the brain power, because then they might actually have to do something about it. You know, so it's easy to be duped. It's easy to go with the flow. But on the Bill Good show, this Jen Sung talked about in her presentations to 1,000 students. Now, I've questioned her on that because, as you know, much to do with the gay lobby is inflated numbers, statistics that don't exist, and all the rest of it. So I'm pretty familiar with the Out in Schools program, so I've put the question to Out in Schools to please identify this school where 1,000 students at once attended. But in her discussion with Bill Good, she made this statement about how when she asked students about two guys kissing, referring to one of the videos that they show where two guys are kissing, all the guys in the audience usually go, ooh, yuck. But then she starts her little psychological process of desensitization and sexualization. And she goes, well, what about two girls kissing? And of course, you know, that's giving license to these 13, 14, 15-year-old boys to, you know, get sexually charged and go, oh, well, that's hot, right? Then, now, you know, any other person coming into the schools, there was a time when that person would be arrested if they started to using these grooming tactics, because these are grooming tactics to recruit kids to become sex activists. Then she goes on, well, what's the difference between two boys kissing? Then she says on the Bill Good Show, you know, they get it then, right? So here we are inviting, you know, sex activists to come into the schools, you know, obviously and overtly start using proven grooming tactics to seduce kids to become sex activists or involved in their, you know, sexual diversities, right?
Well, that's what this whole program is about. And they use the wedge issue of bullying.
Oh, yeah, well.
And they say that they're doing this to stop bullying. I say, well, if you want to stop bullying, and bullying is a bad thing, even the bullying of a homosexual or anybody else is a bad thing. People should be able to live freely and not be harassed. And that is something we all need to fight against. However, though, what they do is they use this real danger to children as a wedge issue to put their political system into the school. And I put forward that evangelical Christians are bullied all the time. They're called all kinds of names. Do you think we need to teach evangelical Christianity to every child in the school so that the evangelicals won't be bullied? Absolutely not. But that's what they want to do. They want to teach every little aspect. Let me give you one other thing that we haven't put out in the public yet. But on page 19, they list a number of heroes, LGBTQ heroes. Significant international LGBT individuals. One of them is named Allen Ginsberg. He is a famous poet. Well, Allen Ginsberg also was a speaker at the 1989 NAMBLA meeting, the National Man Boy Lovers Association. And he gave a disgusting, filthy story called Sweet Boy, Give Me Your ASS. And that is a hero to our little children in our school system.
You know,
this is this is pedophilia to talk about Man-Boy Love Association.
Oh, you can't call it pedophilia anymore, Charles. It's minor attracted persons.
Yeah. Well, you come near my child and I'll show you how attracted you are.
I'll give you a minor attraction. Charles, you know, I want to broaden this discussion a little bit more and pick up what you were talking about where people have to wake up. We are no longer at a place where people can be complacent. This information is being foisted upon kids. There's no option. The minute the government tells me there's no option, shouldn't that sound alarm bells in every person's mind that believes in liberty, democracy, freedom of thought, all those other things? Isn't that a declaration of war, especially when it involves our children?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And this is ideological war against our children.
Well, it is. And the lie.
Well,
the
it's more,
lie
no, no, no,
of
no, no,
bullying.
No, it's more than an ideological war. This is a war that's happening that involves their body.
Yeah.
This is not
sure.
just about their mind. This is about involving them and seducing them and recruiting them into sexual diversity where they are free to express themselves in any way, shape, or form.
Sure.
That then requires me as a taxpayer to pay billions of dollars because they're involving their bodies in activities that their bodies are not designed for.
Well, Carrie, we now know the truth. We know what is happening to our children. And we now need to stand up.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I'm calling on every pastor in this country, for the sake of our babies, to take a stand. every mother, every father, every community leader, every political leader that still has some sense of truth left in him or her, to take a stand and save our children from this egregious, caustic, hostile, toxic curriculum that is being foisted upon them with no parental option. If we don't take a stand, then we will be accountable. Dante's Inferno talks about the hottest part of hell reserved for those who do nothing in the face of a moral calamity. We are facing a moral calamity here, and shame on me and shame on any one of us that does nothing. We need to take a stand and get involved. One mother could put a stop to this whole thing by going to the premier's office and standing there until they put a stop to this.
Let me give the website again, because I think it's important for people to go there, to stopcorruptingchildren.com. And I'd also like to recommend that people go to word.ca, because there's a whole lot of news items there of other topics that I think would be of interest to...
And more than that, our roadkill mantra, if you will bear with me, Charles McVitie, not only go and educate yourself, but then pass the information on to five people.
Yeah,
you
sure.
People need to create a movement. The audio from this show will be posted on our show, on our website at Roadkill Radio. You can take the audio and email it. You need to tell people, you need to listen to this.
Listen
you
to
need
this.
To do something. This is our nation, our democracy. Nobody defends our homeland except us people. This is about you making your voice and your vote count.
Charles, Carrie, let me point out the lie in this anti-bullying mantra. There is no surer way to promote bullying than to start telling people, Jim is gay, Charles is transsexual, Carrie is intersex.
Only today, though. I may change my mind tomorrow.
Okay. Put a label on them and identify them as different from one another, and you are creating a climate for bullying. It's differences that stimulate bullying. If you want to stop bullying, simply say, be civil and polite to one another.
Respect.
Stop.
That's right.
Respect. That's it. Yeah, just respect the personhood of one another. Stop. You don't have to put labels on them to stop bullying.
No.
I know. There's the lies and deceptions abound in this whole political movement, and it is a political movement, Charles. This is a political abuse of the public education system. This is a political abuse of your children. This is a political abuse of your democracy. This whole situation has abuse written all over it from every
it
which
sure
way.
Does.
So, all right, Charles, one more time. The Institute for Canadian Values, you have a petition available. What are you going to do with the petition?
Well, of course, we're going to present the petition to whomever becomes the premier and ask them to stop. But more importantly, we need to contact the leaders today.
Mm.
Yeah.
Not after October the 7th. And there are several elections across this country happening this week. And we need to contact the various candidates immediately, because this is not going to stay in Toronto. It's not going to stay in Ontario. This is coming to BC. It's coming to Alberta. This will be across the country before this social experiment will be across the country before you know it, unless we put a stop to it. And I do believe in the power of people in a democracy, if we truly take a stand. My grandmother's good friend was Nellie McClung, and she, of course, was the head of the Women's Christian Temperance Union. And Nellie McClung and other temperance union women marched on the street. They sewed quilts for banners, and they demanded a change in the law for women to have person status. We need to do something like that.
And she was pro-life.
So that our children can be protected.
Charles McVitie, we will keep this subject matter alive. It's so nice to have this chat with you. And on behalf of civil Canadians, I want to express my thanks for your ad, your stand, your willingness to be out there on the front line, your ability to bring information to people so they can become informed, educated, and then create a movement, because that's what you are. You are a facilitator of truth. And good on you. And good on you for taking Doug Kelly and the National Post to task. This story is far from over. It's just beginning.
Well, thank you, Carrie, for all that you do. And you've stood firmly for many, many years. And it's an honor to work with you on different campaigns. And Ron, we thank you for all that you've already done and all that you will do to keep putting the truth out, because the truth will set you free, the truth changes you, and the truth will change our country.
There good to talk to you again, Charles.
Thank you.
God bless
God
you.
Bless you.
Thanks
bye
again,
bye.
Charles. Whew. And you, we should end the show because that went by fast, but wow. You have written a brilliant commentary about what's really going on. I mean, we've touched about the issues that are involved with the public education system with our chat with Charles. But there is a lot more to this about what's going on as far as what is directing the media to act in this irrational, illogical, journalistic terrorism.
They have been captured.
Have they?
They have. And I am convinced that it's radical homosexual activists who have been carefully placed in positions as media buyers in major advertisers when they phone the publisher of a newspaper, the newspaper bows.
So what you're suggesting then is all of us, common sense, civil people, better get together under a few umbrellas and let our numbers be counted, let our numbers be known, let our numbers as far as what we're spending and where we're spending our money be a factor in their decision-making. Because I know we have received a number of letters copied to us here at Roadkill from people canceling their National Post subscription.
As I did. Yes, I canceled my subscription. Look, because the mainstream media, the downstream media, have been captured and are no longer reliable, we civil Canadians must become our own media. Email is a great way to do it. Everybody knows how to use email. Find information like this. Go to our website, Roadkill Radio, and just pick up one of the stories, one of the commentaries, one of the archived shows. Email the URL to at least five of your friends with a note telling them to pass it on to five of their friends.
And to get on our email list, because we put out information. We tell you what to do. We do the work for you. We make it easy. Who to contact, where to contact, their email addresses, what to say, all those things, Ron. This is an easy way to participate in having your voice heard.
Thanks to the internet, you now have a voice.
Well, and thanks to Ron Gray and Roadkill Radio, you know, we're kind of like the megaphone of the good folk, you know?
Or the ear trumpet
there
for
go.
The hard of hearing politicians.
All right, Ron Gray, that went fast. Always good to see you. Always good to share these mics with you. And this is an important issue. And as I said, when Charles, we were saying our goodbyes to Charles, this is not going away.
This will not go away. See you next week.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
You've been listening to Roadkill Radio. Join us again next week for another trip down the superhighway of information, fact, and truth.